Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire, and my guest today is certainly an inspiring woman. Her name is Peggy Davidson, and Peggy runs 200-mile marathons. So, Peggy, you are really awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you started running and why.
Well, when I first started running, I only ran because I actually started hiking, and I couldn't hike very far, so I had a friend say, go to the track, run around the track. I couldn't even run around the track one time. And
wow.
So, you know, I'm a motivated person, so if I can't do something, I'm going to end up doing it by the end of the week. And so I just worked on it slowly on the track. And then I started doing some 5Ks and 10Ks. I joined our running club in our community. And then I got the taste of trails, and it was just after that, it was like I just couldn't get enough running. You know,
Are there a lot of people who join running clubs?
We have maybe almost 100 people in our running club, but you never see them all. You know,
okay.
I have a running group every weekend, and there could be anywhere from 5 of us to 12 of us, if that says
okay.
anything.
So from 5Ks, how did you work your way up to doing marathons?
Well, I ended up joining a program, and I started doing a marathon. I did 2 marathons, and then I had a friend say, why don't you try this 50-miler? I said, sure. And so I tried the 50-miler. In California, there's a great 100-miler race, and it's called Western States. And at that time in 2000, you had to qualify by a time for a 50-miler. So, my friend, I made the time on the 50-miler to qualify to get in the lottery for the 100-miler here in California. And my friend said, oh, don't worry, you won't get in. This was my first 50-miler. I made the time, and I got in the lottery for the 100-miler. And by June, I ran my first 100-miler in 2000. And I'd ran my first 50-miler in November that year before. So it kind of just came really fast.
So, I mean, when I think of marathons, I think at 26.2. So 50 and 100 miles is quite longer than a 26.2. As you're doing marathons and you're gradually getting more and more where the mileage is up, does it seem daunting to you? What's it like going from like 26 to 50 to 100?
Well, it's not daunting. I don't ever look at it that way. I always look at it as an adventure, and I always have. I mean, how many people do get to go out and see the beauty out on trails for that many miles? And
right.
you meet so many people. I've just never felt it's daunting. And in a race, you just go from aid station to aid station. You don't ever think about the mileage.
Wow. So I'm sure you've met a lot of people over the years. What inspiration have you got from other runners that just kept you going?
I think ultra runners, they want to share everything with you. They want to share the trails. They want to teach you how to eat, you know, that you can run while you're running. You can eat. It's just amazing. So I've had a lot of people just inspire me, but it's kind of like, so they shared the trail with me and how to get to a 100-miler, and now it's my time to share with everybody that they could do the same. They didn't make it impossible for me. They made it, anybody can do this, and they're right. You know, anybody can do this.
You know, as we spoke on the phone this afternoon, you told me that you're not exactly 20 years old anymore. So for an older runner, right? So for an older runner, is running more of a challenge for an older runner than it is for somebody in their teens and 20s?
Oh, quite a difference. And as I told you, I'm in my 60s. You just look at it different. You know, you just look at it differently. All of us that are in our 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, we just don't have the same mindset. We don't run as much. So, you know, you don't have to run 5 days a week. For me to train for my 200 miler in August, I run 3 times a week, 2 short runs and 1 long one, because I need the recovery time in between.
What's a short run for you?
Well, Tuesdays and Thursdays I run, and I run anywhere from 6 to 9 miles.
That's quite a bit. So what's a long run for you?
Well, my long runs can be anywhere from 22, you know, to 40. You know, I do a few races before my big one. Like right now, I'm training like in May. The first weekend in May, I'm doing a 62-miler.
Oh, my God. Wow. So
and it's amazing. I have to do it under 15 hours.
Okay.
You know, so I have 15 hours to do it in, you know, and that's, you know, that's probably like a 14, 15 minute mile. So it's doable.
As you go in a marathon at such a distance, do you keep your endurance up? Do you kind of like get really tired? How do you overcome that? Because that seems like so much.
Well, you know, when you're doing trail runs and ultras like I'm doing, you have a group of friends that you run with. So, and you know, for when I used to work, I'm retired now, but, you know, a lot of women, they work, they take care of their children, their husband, they have so much to do. This is like their away time for the day. So you don't mind it. It's your time that you're out spending with friends out on the trail and doing what you love.
So, you know, doing, like you say, ultra races and to train, you know, a few times a week and run so much, you can eat anything you want, can't you?
That's the other thing about not having a 20-year-old body. Your metabolism changes a bit when you go into your 60s. So, you know,
okay.
I can eat, but I still have to be careful because it just, you know, when you were talking about how I rest and stuff, you know, I'll do running like through September, October, and then the month of November and December, you kind of cut back, way back, and kind of rest your body. And that's where you really have to be careful because then you kind of overeat, and then by January you need to cut back some more. So, you know.
I remember I read the book Born to Run, and I remember parts of the book where the author said that when somebody is doing an ultra marathon, they weigh them during the marathon, and they tend to lose some weight. So, you know, you have to be careful about getting proper nutrition and correct.
And that is so true. In the past, and some of it is changing a bit, but they were always weighing you, you know, like every 75 miles or 60 miles because you don't want to lose if you lose more than 10% of your body weight, they would make you sit down in a race at an aid station and drink and eat until you brought your weight back up, because that can
get
dangerous if you lose too much.
So in a situation like that where they have to replenish and eat and drink, doesn't that kind of slow you down? Because if you're exercising at where you don't have that much food in your system, isn't that more efficient?
No, because you really do need to last, to continue on for hours. You need to be feeding your body because it burns so many calories. And so if you don't stay on top of that, you know, you will feel that in 5 hours. If you didn't stay on top of your eating, then your body just kind of shuts down. And it's really hard to get it back to going again if you're not keeping nutrition in your body.
So when you're doing a marathon and you're replenishing with nourishment every so often, what do you eat to keep you going like that?
Well, for example, this weekend I ran 28 and a half miles. And so I had made a grilled cheese sandwich the night before. So I had a grilled cheese sandwich. You make peanut butter jelly sandwiches, you know, tortillas and avocados. It's really good to eat solid food when you're out running instead of a bunch of sugar. And so that's what we do. And we'll eat, you know, bananas and sandwiches, you know, when you're running. Just take bites of things. Because
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to mention that we usually, when you start doing a long run and you know you're going to be out there for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, you're going to eat usually on the hour, you know, just a bite of something, just to keep your body going.
And like for when it's an hourly thing, is it like you just get enough nutrition to keep going for that hour, correct?
Well, you just eat enough, because you don't want to eat too much at one time, because your body's not going to digest it fast enough. It's just going to sit in your belly. So, you know, just a few bites of something, of a bar, you know, a granola bar, anything, just a few bites, you know, every so often, just to keep it going, but small portions.
Are there nutritionists who specifically work on runners and athletes that you know?
I know a few in our community, yes, and they work like with the triathlon club and things, you know. It's mostly when you're out running, you have to figure out what works for you. You know, just like in anything you do. You just have to figure it out. And when you're doing training runs on the weekends to get ready for a race, the training runs are your time to practice with your different kinds of food. You know, and so you just practice what works for you.
But basically, it's nutritious food. You wouldn't eat like a slice of devil's food cake or anything like that, right?
Well, like if you've got 50 miles under your belt, that might sound pretty good, and getting a little bit of sugar, maybe. but not starting out. No, you want some good nutrition, you know, something nutritious. You know, even good healthy bars that they put out. But some good solid food when you're running, especially if you're going to be out there for a long time.
So over the years, you know, with your running, you've met a lot of people. Have these people given you advice that you found very helpful?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, it's all about sharing what you know when you're out on the trail with someone. You know, when you meet someone, you just want to automatically share with all these folks. And I've had a lot of people.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just, You know, I've just been very lucky for getting to meet many people that share just a, you know, a tidbit of something with me, you know,
so,
just different information.
So, like you run and as other people do, but there's more to their lives than just running. Some are doctors, lawyers, housewives, politicians, singers, dancers. So you must have come across a great variety of people whose passion is running, right?
Oh, yes. I'm really lucky because I have met so many people, you know, different types of, you know, teachers, you know, and like you say, doctors and nurses, and they all have the same love that I do. You know, some may not love as much as I do about going the distance I do. Some may want to just go shorter, but we still all have the love of the trail and the nature, you know.
When you were younger, did you ever think that as you age, you would become a long distance runner?
Never.
Really?
No. Yeah. When I was in my 20s, I was smoking, you know, I drink a little. I would have never thought it. Never thought it.
So do you still feel the effects of smoking as you run long distances?
I think I do. I think just the coughing, you know, you'll get a cough, especially when you go out in elevation. You know, I think sometimes I can still, you know, I'll start coughing after I do a run like in 6,000-7,000 feet elevation, and it comes out. So I think it's always there with you.
Now, elevations are pretty tough. Do you train very hard for elevations? You know, like you would
When the snow melts, we try to go up to the elevation because, like you say, elevation is really hard and it changes your breathing, it changes your eating habits, it changes your running pace. So,
sure, you do it at a slower pace, right?
Yes, I do it at a slow. Yes, I do slower pace, and believe it or not, I eat and drink a lot more when I'm running in elevation.
And because you're consuming that many more, I'm sorry, you're burning that many more calories, right?
Yes, you are. In elevation running, there is a big difference of your calories burning. You're just working a lot harder.
When you say elevation running, what was the steepest you've ever ran?
The steepest I've ever ran. Well, let's see. In Tahoe, I've done probably 10 to 10,000. I did a race in Idaho, and I think it was like in the 10,000-11,000 range, and not for the whole race, just for a section. So, you know, there's been a few runs that I've done elevation in.
Now, you live on the West Coast, so what is the Midwest or Eastern Coast? Have you done like the Chicago Marathon or the Washington Marathon? Have you done anything closer to the East Coast?
No, but in August, I'm running another 205-miler in Washington. So then I'll get to see the Cascadia Mountains that I've never been to. And I'm pretty excited about that.
So how do you train for 200 miles?
Have I trained?
No, how do you train?
How do I train? Well, this year I'm going to train, as I said, in May I have a 62-miler. And in June I have a 100-miler that I'm going to do. And then after my 100-miler in June, it will just be weekend runs of anywhere from 20 to 30 miles in a day, but nothing crazy, you know, nothing super crazy, nothing that somebody else, you know, others can't join me on.
What is the longest distance you have heard somebody run? Is it 200 miles or more?
Yeah, I would say, I think it was like, I think there's a 235 miler.
Uh-huh.
And that's the longest distance.
Are they across the country?
I think this one is in Utah.
Okay. Are there 200 mile races across the country that you know of?
Yes. There is more than just what I know, you know, the three that I know of there, and there are like some in Europe. They're all over the place now.
Wow.
And they're becoming quite common.
So, like, for your 200-mile race, you have sponsors, right? Basically, who sponsors such an endeavor?
Myself and my husband.
Okay. So everybody has to pay
a fee
to get in.
Yeah. And they're very expensive fees to run the race. But there's a lot to put on a 200 miler race. So
right.
Yeah, you just pay for it yourself.
I mean, there's not like a corporate sponsor like Nike or something like that. Are there any corporate sponsors for big races like that?
That I don't know of. I don't know that. There probably are for 100. I know there are for 100 milers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about for 200. And I'm not in that range, you know, that I think a sponsor, you know, I am just a woman in her 60s that can complete a 200 miler, but not coming in first place overall, you know, I'm not speedy, I guess is what I'm saying.
About like for a 200 mile race or 200 mile marathon, about how many people sign up for it, would you say?
A couple hundred.
And out of those couple hundred, how many are in your age group?
Oh, I have to share this with you, Cynthia. So on that 200 race that I did in Tahoe 2 years ago, there were eight of us in my age group.
Really?
And I don't...
Wow.
Yeah, and there was eight of us, but only two of us finished.
Okay.
That's remarkable.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
So we have a few minutes left. For everybody that's listening to this, you know, when I thought, you know, a 200 mile marathon, and you know, when you're a senior citizen, it's kind of like it's like in your brain, well, I'm older now, I can't do that. How do you overcome that barrier of saying, I'm a senior citizen now and I'm going to do it?
You just have to, if I look in the mirror, I go, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. But when you're out there on the trail, it's like, it's just that amazing feeling. And it's like, I can do anything. And so can anybody else. So we have to just get it out of our mindset that we're too old, because we're not. We can do anything we put our mind to. We may be slower and need more recovery time, but we can do anything.
This is truly wonderful. Now, what is, when you, if you're in your 20s and you're doing a 200 marathon race, what is the recovery time versus how long it takes you?
Okay, well, I think probably a 20-year-old is probably recovery time of just a couple days. For me, I will probably take a whole week off.
So right after the race, you're kind of like, okay, I'm done. I'll see you tomorrow or the day after. And I'm sure you just kind of like rest in bed and kind of like enjoy resting, right?
Well, to a point, you're so excited, and it's an amazing feeling of adrenaline, but it takes you a couple of days to really relax. But yeah, usually you need to sleep after that because I was up for 88 hours. So,
oh my God.
You're going to sleep for a day, and then you get up and you walk and stretch your legs, and you just kind of walk every day till you feel better.
Right. So in our last couple of minutes, what do you say to people who might want to do something like you, but don't have the nerve to do it?
Don't let that get in your way. Just go for it. Just go for it. You will be amazed at what you can do. We control everything with our mind. So you just have to be in the mindset that you can do anything. And that's all that matters, because you'll love it once you start.
Even like stair climbing or triathlons, would you say it's the same concept?
It is. Anything that we do with our bodies, anything. I don't care if we just walk around, walk in the woods somewhere. It's amazing. And we just do anything that our bodies will allow us to do. And just don't stop. Just continue.
Wow. So, Peggy, you have a website, right? How could people...
Yes.
How could people contact you?
My website is www.trailhappy.run.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get my phone number, my email, and just email me or call me, and I will share whatever I know.
Peggy, you are truly an inspiration, and I really enjoyed talking to you. So in the final minute, do you have anything to add?
No, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with others. It was so nice of you. So thank you for letting me be part of your things. So thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. You have been listening to Peggy Davidson, and this is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Twitter. I don't have the handle right in front of me, but just keep on listening to what I'm doing, and this has been wonderful. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody, and thank you, Peggy.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.